Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja, and you with me, inshallah, for the next hour with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a long weekend. I hope some of the people are taking it easy. Some of the mothers must be already saying, I wish it could be Sunday. But nevertheless, Allah ta'ala make it such that this is a weekend of rest and ease for one and all, inshallah ta'ala. Respected listeners, so last week we had one of the asatiza of Darul Uloom that had passed away, Mawlana Qasim Sahib Shahri, rahmatullahi alayhi, rahmatan wasi'a. One of those consistent workers of the Quran, servants of the Quran Kareem, that served the Quran for more than 25 years in one place. And we have both his son-in-law and his son as well that will be speaking to us regarding the life of Mawlana Qasim Shahri, rahmatullahi alayhi. It's an open line. You can give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. If you knew Mawlana, or if you would like to give input to our program this evening, alternatively, the better option, just send me a text or a WhatsApp. The number 071-878-9748. 071-878-9748, inshallah, and we will read your message live on air. We have Mawlana Hassan and son-in-law Mawlana Salim, Mawlana Huzaifa. Assalamu alaikum to both of you all.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Mawlana, and to the listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mawlana, from the Jamiatul Ulama, the Radio Islam International team, really our heartfelt condolences on this time to yourselves, your mother, your sister, your families as well. May Allah Ta'ala give you a ni'mah al-badal. May Allah give your father the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus. And may Allah forgive all his shortcomings, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Jazakallah, Mawlana.
Ameen.
And we say jazakallah to all the Muslim community who have lifted their support in this difficult times. And it is indeed very pleasing to know that we have such great support in our community.
Mawlana, it is the right of the community that we support you after how much of service your beloved father has given to the Ummah. May Allah bless him. Let's start from the beginning, Mawlana. You want to give us a brief family history with regards to Mawlana Qasim Sahib Shahri, rahmatullah alayh?
Ji, Mawlana. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد وأنا my father my respected father Walid Saab hailed from the valley village of Panoli in Gujarat, India, and this is the very well known village where by all of us, which from where the respected Qari Abdul Hamid Saab rahmatullah Ali hailed from as well. And so alhamdulillah, this village is in Gujarat, and it's basically falls in the district of Bharuch. So my father, my marhum father, he was brought up there, he was born there as well, and he spent much of his youth in this village. And thereafter, when he wanted to become he wanted to further his studies and to become to become something, and then he started becoming hafiz in the very same village in Panoli in Gujarat, and he under the auspicious under his auspicious teacher Maulana Ishaq Topia Sahib, and so basically that's where he started off his studies of becoming a hafiz in the village.
Mawlana, you were saying his ustad was?
Mawlana Ishaq Topia Sahib.
Mawlana Ishaq Topia, okay, jazakallah. Mawlana, after that, he was brought up in Panoli. My father was telling me that, I think your father then was studying in Jamia Husseiniya in Randir after that?
Ji. He entered his studies after becoming a hafiz of the year of completion of his hifz was in 1967. He completed his hifz at the age of 14. So, and at the age of 15, he started his alim course in Jamia Husseiniya in Randir in the year 1968. So, from the year 1968 to the year 1976, he was doing his alim course in Jamia Husseiniya in Randir, India.
MashaAllah. Well, I would assume that after that he completed the entire Alim course in Jamia Husseiniya.
He completed his entire course in Jamia Husseiniya at the age of 21, Maulana.
MashaAllah. Respected listeners, we are profiling Maulana Qasim Shahri, who passed away last week at the Darul Ulum in Zakaria, and is speaking to his son and his son-in-law regarding the life of Maulana Qasim Shahri. You can give us a call, the number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could just drop us a message, the number is 071-878-9748. And inshallah, we would like to read your messages live on air this evening. Maulana, what did then your Abadan or your Walid Sahab do after graduating from Jamia Husseiniya?
After graduating from Jamia Husseiniya, he started imamat in Surat in a village called Bareka Chakla. So he basically did imamat for approximately 1 year in Surat.
Right.
And thereafter he pursued of going out of India, and he started he went to Saudi Arabia to work in a tafa factory in the year 1980 to 1985. So basically he spent only 1 year after his studies he spent in India. Basically in the same year 1979 he got married also. So he got married, and in one year he did imamat, and thereafter in the year 1980 he migrated to Saudi Arabia to pursue his career in something else, to do some labor in the Dafa factory from the year 1980 to the year 1985.
MashaAllah. And thereafter, Maulana, after that?
He, from 1985, he came back to India for a while, and then he, for about few months, he came back to India, and then he went to Dubai. So from 1985, he was in Dubai for 3 years till 1988, and he was working as a tailor in Dubai as well. And thereafter, when he returned back from Dubai in 1988, he came back and he started working in Karor Madrasa, which is near the village of Panoli. He was teaching Maktab at the Madrasa for approximately 2 years. And then he went all the way to Zambia first, before coming to South Africa. So he went to Zambia first, and thereafter he traveled all the way to South Africa. And then, alhamdulillah, Hafiz Bashir Bhatia Sahib of Darul Uloom Zakaria got to know that there's a certain Qadi Sahib who has come all the way from Panoli. So he inquired and he told somebody from the Darul Uloom to go and inquire where is he, and thereafter he was brought to Darul Uloom Zakaria in the year 1991.
That perhaps for us is the most important aspect, because Allah Ta'ala has blessed Qari Qasim Shahri to be able to serve the Darul Uloom. And obviously if anyone knows Darul Uloom Zakaria, they would know Qari Qasim Shahri forms a pivotal role in the Hifz class of the Darul Uloom. From 1991 till the year 2018, Qari Sahib thereafter served the Darul Uloom in Darul Uloom Zakaria with great punctuality. I mean, we are witness to that, and we know for a fact that Qari Sahib's service to the Quran and Karim in the Darul Uloom is something that we all can speak about, and all the asatiza of the Darul Uloom then. Maulana, perhaps for the benefit of the listeners, would you like to expound for us some of the services at the Darul Uloom that Qari Sahib done over this period of time?
Basically, in the year 1991, he started off, and basically at that time, we as a family, we were still back in India, and we had not migrated to South Africa. So we were, for 5 years, he taught in... He was basically living a single married life in South Africa. And perhaps Maulana also knows that how the asatiza even lived, many of the asatiza in the madrasa, whose families had not yet migrated to South Africa. But alhamdulillah, in that time from the year 1991, he started with a lot of punctuality and dedication to the madrasa, and his hard work and dedication was recognized by the madrasa itself also, and with that he was given a great opportunity from the madrasa to render his services in the Hibs class, and they had a lot of faith and trust in him. So alhamdulillah, through the fazl and karam of Allah Ta'ala, when everything was in place, and thereafter it was thereafter he managed to call all of us from India, and we migrated in the year 1997. So 6 years after he came, thereafter our whole family were given the permission to come and settle down with him here in South Africa as well.
Some of my friends and some of our class group just posting some messages. One of Khalil Branke Saab says that Tariq Qasim Shehri was a very strict but a good-hearted person. Maulana Taqdeer Abdullah say that I don't remember him saying no to any student for anything, and perhaps that would somewhat sum up Maulana Qari Qasim Shehri. Maulana Saab, from your side, what would your estimate be of some of how many Huffaz graduated under your honorable father?
See, Maulana, I think I will let Mufti Huzaifa, my brother-in-law, to elaborate further on this, because I guess he had opened up all the archives of the Hibs class yesterday and today. So inshallah, I will allow him and I will give him the platform to elaborate further on this, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Saab, jazakallah so much for coming here this evening.
Jazakallah for having us on the program.
You've been going through the archives of Darul Uloom Zakariya, and obviously many memories must have come. What are some of the things that you had picked up from the archives of the Darul Uloom?
I was expecting this interview, so I wanted to have some kind of accurate information for your listeners. So I spoke to Hafiz Farooq Mansoor Saab, Damat Barakatuhum, that if I can have access to the records of all those Huffaz who have graduated from Darul Uloom Zakariya. And he was kind enough to let me go through all the records. So what we have found altogether, 72 students are those who have completed manzil and jalsa and exams. Those are the 72 students. But this is only when the record started, But we don't know how many students have completed before even this record has begun. I reckon this was somewhere in the late 90s, this record keeping had started. And the second thing was, there were many students who completed. But they did not do manzil. They did not do the jalsa. So their names are not mentioned there. So safely we could say, without any exaggeration, around 80 students. 72 are already in our records of our madrasa, but I would say around 8 would be the
around
safe figure.
80 students graduated from the madrasa.
Yes, by our respected father-in-law.
Subhanallah. Respected listeners, just to put it into perspective,
go on.
80 students, many of those that I know of are some of my companions that are doing amazing work in the different countries. Some of them are in Australia, some of them are in Maputo, some of them are in Kenya. So it's not just the 80 students that graduated, but it's rather that those 80 are now doing amazing work in the different countries, some of them running maktab, some of them serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously that then gives into the sadaqah jariyah for Hazrat Qari Qasim Shehri rahmatullahi alayhi. So just imagine what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must have blessed them with regards to the reward that Allah ta'ala is going to give them. That is apart from these 80 students reading door, reading manzil. Manzil means that you have to read at least 7 paras a day, complete the khatam, and then only are you allowed to graduate. So well, imagine how much of reward
Allah Ta'ala must have blessed him with only listening for the Holy Quran. Muftisab,
yes.
What are some of the other things that you've picked up in terms of your father-in-law's contribution in Darul Uloom Zakaria and just general from the different people that have been talking to you?
My beloved father-in-law was a few qualities were outstanding. Number one, he was a very tidy person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-taharatu nisful iman, that cleanliness is a half of faith. And the person who gave, actually, I just came to know about, the person who was involved in giving the ghusl to my respected father-in-law, he said, I have never seen such a clean body.
Allahu Akbar.
So, alhamdulillah, there was no leak or anything, alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah, he was very clean and tidy during his life also. And even after he passed on from this world.
SubhanAllah.
So, the message that the words of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala comes to my mind, that when he kissed the forehead of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "Tibta hayyan wa tibta mayyitan." So he was clean and tidy while he was alive. His clothes, he was very particular. We were counting his itr. It's maybe around 150 bottles of itr. His clothes that we were checking is more cleaner than my mother-in-law's. And very tidy, very particular about things, about his hair, about ironing his clothes. Very, very tidy about his shoes, about his car. His car is clean and tidy. So yes, one of the main quality was he was a very tidy person. The second thing, he was harmless. He never intended harm to any human being. Any human being, very humble. He never made any effort to be recognized, to be noted. He never made people realize that what his contribution. I have never ever heard him saying that this student, I have made this many students, Hafiz, or I'm doing so much work, or I have done this thing. He was always used to deny himself. When he came to UK, my place, because Hafiz Salim used to come to perform Taraweeh, and Hafiz Salim is, mashallah, very well known in my town. And people came to know he's my father-in-law and also one of Salim's father. So people came after namaz. They're in numbers, around 40, 50 people, they came to greet him. So he felt so embarrassed. Though he was deserving all these credits, that next Allah he came and he hid himself right in the corner, that no one should come and greet me. So he was very uncomfortable in this frame, in this all this kind of frames, and you know, he didn't want you to be famous, he didn't want you to be recognized. The second quality was he was very humble. The third quality was he did not interfere in anyone's business. This was right across all the asatiza. They say he never interfered in anyone's business and he was harmless. The Urdu words, they say, they were insan. He was a harmless human being. The third quality was his sila rahmi was amazing. Many a times his own children, they felt that he is doing more for his family than his own children. But because we all love him so much that we all wanted him, a part of him, attention of him, but the reality was he used to love everyone. But he had never forgotten his brothers and his sisters. I was speaking to the office people, those people who are responsible for the accounts, that if there is any outstanding, so respected, and my beloved Hafiz Bashir, Bhatiya Damad Barakatuhum, he said, in last 28 years of his service in this madrasa, he never borrowed money.
Last
month, before first passing away, he asked me for 10,000 pounds, 10,000 rand, sorry. And he said, I was amazed. The Qari Qasim Shari being so ghairat and so khuddar, that, so I asked him, why do you need? He said, my brother needs to pay his debt, so that's why I need to borrow. So before 2 days before he passed away, he settled his younger brother's debt in India, and then he passed away. And while he passed away, he did not have anything left in his own account in whole of this world. He does not have one single property on his name. But he made effort, and he made it he obliged himself that he made sure that before he departed from this world, he cleared the debt of his own brother. And his mother is also here with us in our house. She is also very distraught at the passing away of his beloved son. But the second quality was that one of the most important qualities was his absolute obedience to his parents. Absolute, like Janah al-Dhul. He would never argue. Whatever they would say, that would be the last word for him. So these are the few qualities. Mehman Nawazi, wa at'imu ta'am Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Medina, the one of the command Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, feed food, not the miskin only, feeding the food. Of course, this is a contribution of my mother-in-law also, because she was the one who was cooking the food. But inviting people for the food, to students, his class, to class boys, I don't think so anyone can match that quality. He was very, very generous. Though he had little, then too he was a very generous man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his grave with a noor.
Ameen.
Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen.
We are discussing and speaking the life of Qari Qasim Shahri rahmatullahi alayh. For 7 years, obviously, those of us that stayed in the Darul Uloom, those that done hibs there, probably 10 years, 11 years that they spent, you would interact with the asatis, and all of them had their own special quality, their own special outstanding feature that would just be a standout. You know, when you go there, one thing that I want to always say is that Qari Qasim Shahri was a person who was always immaculate in his dressing. You would not find a crease on his kurta.
Yeah, definitely.
Maulana Bilal Mullah sends me a message, and he says Qari Sahab was an embodiment of love and kindness. I'm sure every student of Qari Sahab will agree that we all enjoyed a special fatherly love from our beloved teacher. Giving an example of Al-Mu'minu Ma'lufun, that a believer is somebody that people always take very kindly towards him. Qari Sahab would say that if you want your Quran to be strong, you should leave the Taraweeh Salah in all 20 rakat for 20 years. Qari Sahab was meticulous in his attire. He was also a tailor par excellence. We love you, our Ustad, and we will remain indebted to you, undoubtedly, says Maulana Bilal Mullah. May Allah Ta'ala grant Qari Sahab the highest abode in Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ustad, well, some amazing qualities that you have brought up, and generally in our program, we always like to ask one question. In terms of your personal interaction with Qari Sahab, what are some of the things you can share as a son-in-law regarding your father-in-law? Some personal interaction that obviously stands out in terms of his personality or his qualities.
The simple description would be that he was very honest. He would always advise. And if there is any kind of dispute between myself and my wife, he would always take my part. And he would say, no, is right. You need to sort out yourself. So I had so much confidence in him that if there is any dispute, my father-in-law will take my side. I know he used to love his daughter, but that was his way of embarrassing his father, his son-in-law, in such a way that he has to sort himself out. So that was his quality, that he would never take his daughter's side in front of me, at least, and he would tell her off. And this is the thing which made us him love so much, that he was an amazing man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive his sins and all of his sins in Jannah.
Ameen, inshallah. We have a call on the line. Caller, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Manaw Baidullah Boja sahab, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, Mufti Hatiani, how are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, some alhamdulillah.
Mufti Hatiani, I think your whole family was students of Qari Sahab.
Ji. Alhamdulillah, some alhamdulillah.
And his two elder brothers, both of them, who are in my class as well. What are some of your thoughts of Qari Shahri Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi?
First and foremost, we can just not even try and comprehend that we've lost such a gem. Not just in South Africa, but all the students across the globe, and especially my family, myself, my brothers, we all, till at this point, we just lost our beloved father a month ago, and now our beloved Ustad, it's just, it's been a bit too much to absorb. But the only thing we can say that the reward of these elders and awliya Allah lays with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If there is any gift that any man gave to the Atiani family in Nairobi, etc., it was Karisab Rahmatullah Alayhi, where he took in my two elder brothers, which were with you in the class as well, in your kitab study time, while you are doing your kitabs, Malana. Malana Muhammad Rehan and Malana Bilal, the two of them, and they began their hifs under the tutorship of Karisab Rahmatullah Alayhi. And that was in 1992. And it was amazing that every year when they would come back home, they would, as strict as Karisab Rahmatullah Alayhi was, as far as the work was concerned, as far as the tahfiz was concerned, and he used to actually phone in to find out if the door was done, if the tarawih has been taking place when my elder brothers used to come home, and I still recall. And then when it came in towards 1998-1999, that's when myself and my twin brother Hafiz Hassan, we came through to Darul Ulum Zakaria, and we started our hifz classes there. And Karisab Rahmatullah Alayhi, subhanallah, what a warm welcome. I still recall the first thing he actually, when we arrived from the airport, he realized that, you know what, the two youngsters are coming, following up with the two big brothers who completed hijj by me. And he was so, so welcoming that he would not even let us for the first week, just because we were foreigners, we came from outside, for us to tell with madrasas, for us to get into the system. Karisab would actually go on to make sure that we do not even have meals in the madrasa. And he would make sure that we came home to have meals.
Subhanallah.
For the entire ajib. And then he used to come till the boarding after Salah to check specifically on my brother and myself, because we were, I think at that age, but at that time we were just by the age of eight, nine years of age, and he used to actually come and check on us. And he used to make sure that our not just our spending and everything else was taken care of, especially when our big brothers were not around, but he used to make sure that our needs were also taken care of in the body. Karisab Rahmatullah Alayhi, in the holidays, I still recall, he used to even go to that extent to call us every time to find out, did you partake of meals? Winter time, he would actually get very angry when he used to see us, without a pair of socks or something like that, or not wearing a jersey or something, or just rushing out of the boarding without a jersey. Karisab was very concerned. And subhanallah, his dedication as far as work was concerned and our hifs, myself, my brother, one common advice Karisab used to give, Zindagi mein kabhi tarawih salah ko mat chhodna.
Subhanallah.
Zindagi mein tarawih salah ko kabhi mat chhodna, chunke wahi hai, you know, that is the only means that you will keep on reviving your Quran. And to revive your Quran and keep it steadfast, try and recite even if it's half a para in Tahajjud Salah. This was the common advice of Karisab Rahmatullah. I still recall. He said, every day, try and read at least half a para in your Tahajjud Salah. Your Quran will remain for the rest of your life. And this was something amazing about Karisab Rahmatullah.
No, most definitely, Maulana. I mean, just if you were to see how big the mayyat was at the Janazah of Salah, you would understand how many people knew Karisab and how much it meant to Karisab as well, in terms of the people, the interaction, etc. Really a sad day for the Ummah, but Allah Ta'ala reward you for coming live on it. Jazakallah, Marana.
I mean, one thing I would like to say, that Karisab was a person of he was extremely very neat, very tidy, and he used to make sure that his dressing would be in a state where, especially when he used to go for Salah, we used to take a note of it, that Karisab Rahmatullah Alayhi used to always be careful on if there's a mark on his kurta, etc. He'd make sure he'll take a walk to the Uzukana specifically to wash it out because it was Salah time. And through the grace and mercy of Allah, I was fortunate among the students to be there, to be part and parcel of giving the ghusl with the elder Yasatiza. There is nothing more that we can do that would repay Karisab, but the reward is only and only with Allah.
Most definitely, so Maulana. Jazakallah so much for your time.
Jazakumullah khairan wa ahsan al-jaza. We make dua to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala make maghfirat of Karisab, rahmatullah alayhi.
Ameen.
On behalf of the Afghani family, jazakallah for accepting our call, and really we indebted to Karisab. We owe it to Karisab. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Maulana Bilal, sorry, that was Mufti Hatiani, the current Imam of Lakefield, and he has been, his whole family, they are four brothers, all of them completed their hifz under Qari Qasim Shahri. Our Ustad is going to call us now, inshallah. Muhammad Salim, there's a call that's coming in. If you could please take the call, inshallah, and just tell me if it's live on air. One of our Ustad from the Darul Uloom Zakaria will be coming. So Muhammad Salim, just see if you can take the call for us, inshallah, and put it on. Mufti Sahab, many issues, obviously, everyone giving their own input in terms of the life of Qari Sahab and in terms of his contribution towards their lives and making sure they were comfortable. But perhaps the most important thing is that as a student, if you, the Ustad, can make you feel comfortable, that you always want to come back and study, that perhaps in its own is significant. Because, you know, Darul Uloom Zakaria in those days, you know, the food used to be challenging, you know, it's not home.
Definitely.
It's not home. So, you know, the students now and then you get, you just for home food, and now and then you like want to say, okay, do I really need this? I want to leave. And if your Ustad can make you comfortable, that perhaps is a great achievement on its own.
Definitely. I will, inshallah, I will just wrap it up, inshallah. One of the quality was, that my respect to the father-in-law, he done the khidmat of the Quran for 28 years. Al-istiqamatu khayrun min alfi karama. From last a few days, I'm going in a hifz class from before Fajr until half 11. I consider myself to be active. I do jogging also, at least 4 days a week. Then to 11 o'clock, half 11, when I come home, I'm absolutely drained. Drained means I'm coming to bed and I'm, without eating, I'm gone and I'm sleeping. And my father-in-law, while he was so ill and weak, he used to do this. He used to go and teach. Though physically you can't see what is the labor and what is the effort involved, but when you interact with the youngster and you have to finish the target, the sabak para finishes and then sabak para and then bor. And it's just, it takes so much emotionally and psychologically, it takes so much impact. First, you have to sit at one place, limited and restricted place, for 4.5 hours. There's no blood circulation. You're not going out. And it really, from last 4 days, if a person like me, who's, I'm not that old, I wouldn't consider myself to be too young also, but I would consider myself to be a fit person, an active person. If it is difficult for me, then for my father-in-law, definitely it was a big contribution. And it was that istiqamah was definitely far superior than 1,000 miracles. The second
thing
is
on the line now, our Ustad from Darul Uloom Zakaria, who's a regular contributor to the program, Hazrat Maulana Abbas Sahab. Maulana Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Ji, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
مولانا آپ ہمارے استاد حضرت قاری قاسم شہری رحمت اللہ علیہ جو دار العلوم زکریہ کے استاد ہیں ان کا انتقال کر چکے ہیں پچھلے ہفتہ آپ ان کے ساتھ تو ملتے رہتے ہیں وہاں کلاس سے آنا جانا وغیرہ ان کے بارے میں آپ کی کچھ باتیں آپ بتا دیں مولانا
ہاں جی السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ
وعلیکم السلام
جی بھائی مولوی عبداللہ صاحب نے پروگرام الحمدللہ شروع سے لے کر کے اب تک سن رہا ہوں دھیان اور توجہ کے ساتھ میں نے اس پروگرام میں سعادت حاصل کرنے کے لیے آپ کو فون کیا مولانا کے صاحبزادے قاری صاحب مرحوم کے صاحبزادے مولانا سالم صاحب نے اپنے والد مرحوم کے بارے میں بتایا لیکن چونکہ ان کے راندیر جامعہ حسینیہ کی اساتذہ کا کوئی تذکرہ نہیں آیا تھا اس لیے میں نے سوچا کہ میں وہاں جامعہ حسینیہ کے قیام کے ان کے جو اساتذہ ہیں ان اساتذہ کے بارے میں ایک دو باتیں بتا دوں تاکہ سامعین کو مستمعین کو سننے والوں کو معلوم ہو جائیں کہ درس نظامی کی جو تعلیم انہوں نے جامعہ حسینیہ میں حاصل کی اس زمانے میں ان کے اساتذہ کون کون رہے. یہ وہی زمانہ ہے 1976 میں مولانا وہاں سے کوالیفائیڈ ہوئے. میرا قیام بھی اس زمانے میں راندیر ہی میں تھا, اگرچہ میں اس زمانے میں ابتدائی درجات میں تھا, ثالثہ یا رابعہ یا خامسہ کے اندر میں میرا شمار ہوگا اس وقت تھا. جامعہ حسینیہ میں ان دنوں میں جبکہ حضرت مرحوم قاری صاحب وہاں تھے تو ماشاءاللہ ان کے لیے یہ بھی بڑی سعادت ہے کہ اس وقت گجرات کے بلکہ یوں کہا جا سکتا ہے کہ ہندوستانی لیول کے اوپر میں جو بڑے بڑے حضرات تھے ان حضرات سے ان کو علم حاصل کرنے کی سعادت حاصل ہوئی. اور اس میں خاص طور پر میں یہاں 6-7 آدمیوں کا نام لے سکتا ہوں. انہوں نے اس وقت کے جو شیخ الحدیث تھے حضرت مولانا شیخ احمد اللہ صاحب راندیری رحمہ اللہ, ان سے انہوں نے بخاری شریف پڑھی ہوگی. اور پھر اسی زمانے میں راندیر میں حضرت مولانا اسلام الحق صاحب تھے, اسی طریقے سے حضرت مولانا شمس الدین صاحب تھے اور مولانا غلام رسول صاحب بورسدی صاحب تھے. اور اسی طریقے سے ابھی چند سال پہلے جن کا انتقال ہوا حضرت مولانا مفتی اسماعیل وادی والا صاحب, اور جن بڑے بڑے دو آدمیوں کا زمانہ انہوں نے پایا جامعہ حسینیہ میں جو معتمیم رہے ہیں, ان میں پہلے نمبر پر حضرت مولانا محمد سعید صاحب راندیری اور دوسرے نمبر کے اوپر میں جو معتمیم بنے اس زمانے کے اندر میں وہ حافظ اسماعیل موٹا صاحب. یہ وہ حضرات تھے کہ ان حضرات کے زمانے میں اللہ تعالیٰ نے ان کو علم حاصل کرنے کی سعادت نصیب فرمائی.
اور یہ غالباً مولانا ابراہیم صاحب اندوری بھی تھے.
مولانا ابراہیم صاحب اندوری بہت بعد میں تشریف لائے تھے, وہ اس زمانے میں نہیں تھے. مولانا ابراہیم صاحب جہاں تک مجھے یاد پڑتا ہے وہ 80 کے بعد جامعہ حسینیہ میں آئے ہیں, بلکہ شیخ احمد اللہ صاحب کی جو وفات ہوئی 1983 میں, ان کی وفات کے بعد مولانا ابراہیم صاحب انڈوری تشریف لائے ہیں. ان سے پہلے یہ جو حضرات تھے ان حضرات سے انہوں نے پڑھا ہوگا. اور میرا خیال ہے کہ تجوید کی بھی کچھ کتابیں ہیں, کچھ تعلیم کچھ مشق انہوں نے اس زمانے کے جو مشہور قاری تھے قاری محمد حسین صاحب, ممکن ہے کہ ان سے بھی انہوں نے کچھ پڑھا ہو. تو یہ وہ حضرات تھے اس زمانے میں جامعہ حسینیہ میں جسے الحمدللہ انہوں نے پڑھا ہوگا. اور یہ جتنے حضرات کا نام لیا الحمدللہ ان سب کو اللہ تعالیٰ نے دیکھنے کی سعادت, پھر ان کے بیانات سننے کی سعادت, ان کے بخاری شریف کے ختموں میں شرکت کی سعادت بھی نصیب فرمائی ہیں. یہ سب جن لوگوں کے نام لیے گئے سب ماشاءاللہ علم والے تو تھے, لیکن علم کے ساتھ ساتھ عملی جامع بھی پہنانے والے, علم اور عمل کی جامعیت رکھنے والے. اور اس کے ساتھ ساتھ یہ تمام کے تمام اساتذہ انتہائی سادہ قناعت پسند قوت لا یموت کے اوپر میں زندگی گزارنے والے حضرات تھے, ان سے الحمدللہ ان کو پڑھنے کی سعادت نصیب ہوئی. ایک خاص بات جو اکثر لوگوں کو نہیں معلوم ہوگی, ان کے بیٹے مولانا سالم صاحب کو بھی, کہ قاری شہری صاحب اپنے پڑھنے کے زمانے میں جامعہ حسینیہ میں ماشاءاللہ بہت اچھے نعت خواں اور نظم خواں تھے. وہ بہت اچھی نعت بھی پڑھنے والے تھے, بہت اچھی نظم بھی پڑھنے والے تھے. جب بھی جامعہ حسینیہ میں کوئی سیرت کا جلسہ ہوتا, محرم کے موقع پر جلسہ ہوتا, تو جلسہ ہو اور اس جلسے میں ضرور بضرور قاری شہری صاحب جو ہیں وہ اپنے نعت سے سامعین کو مسرور بھی فرماتے تھے, مسحور بھی فرماتے. طلبہ اساتذہ उनके नात पढ़ने को भी अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह बहुत ही ज्यादा पसंद फरमाते थे। तो ये उनके जामिया हुसैनिया के जो असातिज़ा थे, वो असातिज़ा इकराम का मैंने इजमाली तौर पर जिक्र किया ताकि सुनने वालों को मालूम हो जाए कि माशाल्लाह ये बड़े बड़े हजरात थे जिनसे उनको पढ़ने की सआदत भी नसीब हुई। ये दो बातें मैंने बताई कारी साहब के नांदेड़ की तालीम के बारे में और उसके नात पढ़ने के बारे में। दो बातें और जिक्र कर देता हूँ, फिर मैं आपका ज्यादा वक्त लेना भी नहीं चाहता, लेकिन क्योंकि हर मौके पर आप मुझे शरीक करते हैं तो जी में आया कि आज भी मैं शरीक हो जाऊं। और उस गुरु महासिन मोहताकुम का जो अजर और सवाब है, अल्लाह ताला मेरा भी उसके अंदर में कोई हिस्सा मुकद्दर फरमाए। तीसरी बात जो है, अल्लाह ताला ने कारी साहब को जो सिफत अता फरमाई थी जिसका पहले भी जिक्र आ चुका है, और वो ये है कि अपने खानदान के तमाम लोगों के साथ सिला रहमी का मामला करना और जितना भी हो सके हर एतबार से अपने रिश्तेदारों के साथ अच्छा सलूक करना, ये बहुत बड़ी सिफत सिलमन कता का वाफ अमन जलम का वासिन इलामन असाइले का, माशाल्लाह इसके ऊपर में भी वो अमल करने वाले रहे। और इसी तरह से चौथे नंबर के बात है, माशाल्लाह अल्लाह ताला ने उनके मिजाज के अंदर में किसी को जरर पहुंचाने का मादा नहीं रखा था। हद तक इम्कान वो इस बात की कोशिश करते थे कि ना वो खुद दूसरे को कोई नुकसान पहुंचाए और ना कोई दूसरा कोई आदमी उनको नुकसान पहुंचाए। सही बात यह है कि खुदा बख्शे मरने वाले में बहुत सारी खूबियां थी, उनकी जो अच्छी खूबियां हैं अल्लाह ताला मुझे भी वो नसीब फरमाए, आपको भी नसीब फरमाए, दीगर सामईन को भी नसीब फरमाए, और अल्लाह ताला हम सब की बाकी जिंदगी जो है उसके दीन की खिदमत और इशाअत के लिए और इस्तेकामत के साथ हमें इसके ऊपर में दवाम नसीब फरमाए। जज़ाकुमुल्लाह ताला फिद्दारैन।
आमीन, जज़ाकुमुल्लाह खैरा। Mufti Uzair, we are coming to the end of the program. Between yourself and Maulana Salim Saab, perhaps if you can take us to the last few hours or days in terms of Wali Saab, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Kari Saab, days.
Yes, I wanted to highlight one thing that very few people know, that my respected father-in-law had done walking Hajj, pedal Hajj.
MashaAllah.
Yes.
Carry on, Maulana.
Yes, I can hear you.
Please do carry on.
Just before passing away, just before this Ramadan in 2018, after 33 years, he went for Umrah.
Allahu Akbar.
And just within 3 months of Umrah, he passed on from this world. And just to do the ta'id of what Hazrat Maulana, respected Sheikh Maulana Abbas Saab said, I have all the signatures of all those Asatizah Kiram on his what you call Al-Fadila certificate, Shahadatul Fadila. I have this signature of Sheikh Rahmatullah and Sheikh Shamsuddin, Sheikh Islamul Haq also, Sheikh Sayyid Ulam Rasul Bursadi, Ayyub Hafiz, Muta Ismail Kantaria, Ghafir Lahu, Ismail Sahab. All these signatures, whatever Hazrat Mawlana Abbas was saying, indeed they were the teachers of my respected father-in-law. Just going through the last few hours of his life in this world, Wednesday afternoon class, he could not make it to the class, so he invited all the students to do the revision and to the study at home. And he warned them that Friday I'm coming in a class, I make sure you know all your work and you sort out your sabak para. After that, he phoned few people, Panoli, specifically discussing the matters regarding the maktab of Panoli village. With one uncle, he was busy on the phone for around 35 to 40 minutes. Then he was speaking to his daughters from Zambia, and one of his daughters at this minute, she is also in Hajj, and she was also there. He spoke to his older son from Canada, he's a very successful businessman there, Muzammil Shahri. He was speaking to him, and then he read his Isha Salah, and then he done the Tilawat, then he went to sleep. Around 4 o'clock he got up and he started coughing. So flame came out and he told my mother-in-law that now I'm feeling very light and now I will be able to fall to sleep. Now, at after that, sometime he passed away in that time.
Okay.
While he was laying down straight on a bed, he had the habit of keeping high pillows around 3 to 4, and quarter of his upper body used to be up high, and this was his habit of sleeping. This is how he, this was his style of sleeping. And he had his topi on his face, covering. When he passed away in the same manner. I.e., he had the death of without pain, that he did not even remove his topi from his face. He was sleeping still. Anyone who would have seen him, he did not have a smiling face. His face was full of awe. But that day, you could see that he had a broad smile on his face. And that was amazing.
Gee.
He passed away this world while he was smiling. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status in Jannah.
Ameen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to follow in his noble footsteps. Ameen. Ya Rabbi alameen.
Jazakallahu khaira. We have one quick caller. Caller, assalamu alaikum. We have a call online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. I think the caller probably, we have a caller, assalamu alaikum. I think the caller is gone. Karisa passed away last week, Thursday, and he was buried. The janazah salah was performed after Aisha salah at the Darul Uloom Zakaria.
And thereafter, Karisa was taken to the Evelyn Cemetery. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur, accept all his services for deen, and grant him the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen,
ya Rabbil Alameen. Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah so much for yourself.
Once again, I really appreciate and on behalf of all of my family that such a great radio station have taken our time and dedicated this hour to honor my father-in-law. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all befitting reward to all of you who are involved. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take your station from strength to strength.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakallah so much. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام ورحمة الله.
That's a wrap from this evening from myself, Ubaidullah Boja. Inshallah, next week same place. Inshallah, with the help of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.